release grace to peace. Let him pour out what he has already been prepared to give for the glory of our God. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.
You are, sir. And it is recording correctly. After I leave here, I'm no longer responsible.
Government man. Well, Kim had an unusual way of opening this up. He called and he said to me, did you get my message? I said, no. He said, well, the Lord has impressed upon me that you have a message on your heart. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Where? And I said, well, to be honest with you, there is none. He said, well, I think you better check again. And I said, I am checking, and it's not there. See, at the time that he called, I was into day 8 of severe anger, turmoil, and quite frankly, the last thing on my mind was anything in this book. So he's there, well, think about it, pray on it, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I am going to be working. I cannot commit. And he said, oh, okay, whatever. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you had a Sunday service that night. He was supposed to, well, he called initially because he couldn't find the recorder. There's something wrong with the recorder. I said, I'll send mine along with Mary. I couldn't find it. Lord and behold, it was sitting on top of the desk in front of my son's computer. So I told Mary, I said, you get there, tell him that I'm sorry, but I do not have the recorder. And also let him know that I will not be there Tuesday night. So she came home. I said, did you let him know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I said, cool. And I sit there, I go, what about Tuesday night? No, I didn't have time to talk to him. I'm sitting there, okay. So did I call you? No, not this morning. I think so. It was yesterday morning you called me. Just yeah, you did. So anyways, I said, I will see what happens. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't really want to do this. You're still over the teacup. As a matter of fact, even when I looked in the mirror, I was mad at myself. So anyways, today I'm driving around. And I'm thinking to myself, what is it that I can bring besides myself and a whole bunch of steam? And I thought about giving my testimony. Why bore you? That can come at a later date. What finally happened is I called him at about 5 o'clock, and I said, all right, I'm going to be there. I have nothing, but I will be there. So, seeing how I have nothing, why don't we open up to Mark 11, 22. People admit to it in front of a crowd. Very good. All right, here we are. We are discussing the withered fig tree. Verse 22, and we're going to go down through 24. The emphasis is going to end up being on 24. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. All right. I would underline at this point, in his heart. What is the heart of man or woman? The spirit. The true person is not what we see outside, but what lies within. And you're looking out through these eyes, your spirit's looking out through the windows, and I look at all you, I don't see the real you, I see your house. Congratulations, you all live in mobile homes. And it's the truth. You're within this body is your home. And it goes places. But now, it says here, did not doubt. Does not doubt in his heart. How many of you have prayed for something? Let's go with something easy. Healing. Now, it doesn't have to be anything major. Something minor. You know you have some place to go this weekend, but that cold is coming on. So now, the first thing you do, we all know, we went right into our prayer closet. We start praying. Right after we grab the NyQuil, the DayQuil, the Anacin. But you get in there and you pray. Lord, I really need to be healed. Lord, I know that you healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I have been healed. And in Isaiah, I can quote him. You've quoted him. Then you sit there and you go, thank you that I'm healed. Oh, man. What happens up here? Doubt. So then what happens? You cough more. You start saying, didn't happen. Why doesn't it work for me? How come it always works for Peggy, but it never works for me? God must dislike me. Well, you know, it's a funny thing because he never said in the Word anywhere, if you doubt with your head. Your head can do whatever it wants. That's flesh. But don't let it come out of here. It comes out of your mouth and becomes spiritual law over your body. Because then you have now sided with one side versus the other. Now, the heart is your spirit. And that's what speaks. Do not doubt with your spirit. Your mind can do all it wants. But that spirit, stay true to the word, leads up to the next one. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Okay, again, because healing seems to be the predominant thing where we fail a lot. How many of you have prayed for healing? How many of you have received healing? Okay. How many of you have prayed for healing and didn't see the manifestation of it? Yep. You know, I wondered about that. I have an area of my life that really bothers me a lot. I love animals. I love cats. I love dogs. I love gerbils. But I grab a cat or a dog, ask Peggy what happens. I get attacked. Since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I've been allergic to it. Well, I've prayed, but I've always seen a manifestation of my eyes swelling up, and it's a terrible thing. My wife thinks it's funny. She laughs hysterically when it happens. But I've questioned why, why. Well, the answer finally came, and today, when I was down near Rhode Island, I took a detour off my appointed rounds. I went to see my cousin. I was 20 minutes from her house. Lord and behold, she has a pooch. And this dog thinks everybody's their buddy. Well, I was there for a half hour. I got in the car, and I'm driving back to Massachusetts. And I had reached down, grabbed a nice tea, took it from it, and I went like this. And upon doing that, within 30 seconds, this eye started to sting, and right down the lung here. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, here we go again. I'm supposed to be speaking. I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to look like someone just slugged me. And the eyeball will be spongy. And I'm not joking. When it happened to me out in Colorado, within a minute, my wife's like, Pete, your right eye's a sponge. It's not salt, it's spongy. And, you know, I knew that. I felt no moisture there. It was all swelled up. So I'm driving up 395 heading toward Mass. I said, uh-uh, not this time. I refuse. And then immediately this scripture came to me. And I had heard a teaching on it. See, I'm not taking credit for this. Someone else taught it. And I think it started with the man who said it. But when do you get your healing? Instantly. I used to sit there and say, okay, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. Said all the scriptures. Went through the whole routine. Found Satan. Cast him out. Found myself out in case it was me. But, oh, you laugh. Sometimes we should exercise ourselves. Separate our brains from it. Nothing ever happened. So then I thought about this, and the teaching came back and slapped me right across the face. Now, you understand I'm still going up, and this feeling is going right across here, and now my eyelids, and I'm like, yeah. And I said, Lord, I know what my eye is saying. I know what my head is saying. But I know what your word says. And even though I did not remember where it was, I quoted it. And I said, you know what, I don't believe that I have received my healing after my eye is better. I believe it's there now. Irregardless of what my eye does. And I immediately went into praise and thanksgiving. A minute later, no feeling in the eye. No feeling. Not numb. The swelling went down. Everything went down. Blurriness was gone. Why do I say that? Because I had nothing else to bring to you. Yeah, it's... The thing is that we miss it sometimes on a technicality. Most of us are believing with our head. And the head will slap you right up across the face. How many people, the word says, my people die for a lack of knowledge. And sometimes it's not really that they don't know. How many times have we read that scripture? Think of all the scriptures you've just read through and read through and read through. Then one day someone puts a light on, and now you not only understand the scripture, but now you understand what was meant behind the scripture. Now, does that mean that we have a full understanding of that you have received it, that you believe there's a lot more in there? But you scratch the surface, and you're going to dig in. Mosquito bites, you scratch that little area. It's nice and big, doesn't it? Same thing with the Word of God. You scratch in, and it's going to penetrate. It will cut you in half. Some areas you're not going to like, some areas you're going to love. But where do we go with it? We try to show people. Will they all listen? No. The hardest ones to convince will be our own loved ones. He has a struggle on his side. I have a struggle on my side. I have people telling me in my own family that I am now a member of a church that is leading me down the wrong path. Oh, isn't it wonderful? And I said, thank God. I have, in the last 4 years of running, kicking, gnawing, and not because I had a dislike for God, but because I did not want to be entrapped where I was before. I saw things in this word that I did not understand, but I knew had to be true. But yet it went against everything that I was taught in every church I'd ever been in. And this one scripture just lays it out. Once you learn the key, you go from there. My eye is fine. Your back is fine. My wife is at a meeting. She actually said, you're going tonight. I said, yes. She says, you want me there? Can I go with your daughter to see this guest speaker who's talking about a book he wrote? And I think it was called A Boy Named It. Mary had read the book, and she would have loved to have met the guy. Well, she is in the process right now at Tantasqua Regional High School doing that. I said, go. Well, I don't want you mad. Nope, you just go. So anyways, that's why I can say that now. I can have my little fun because unless she listens to the internet, which she won't, because she's too busy. Of course, Pastor Kim will probably get her the recording now. And yeah, thank you. Overall, in general, the thing is we have to dig into the Word. Like I said, I have relatives who swear to God that I am on the wrong path, all because of I said that there might be an alternative to some of the things that they believe. Oh, my God. And they said, prove it. And I started giving them scriptures. And they told me I did not know those scriptures and that there's all this other stuff into it. And I meant, look, it's written in English. I'll step out. There's a, for the longest time, I believed in the pre-tribulation rapture. That's just me. And I started reading, and then I came across something that kind of rocked the theology a little bit. And I'm sitting there, and now I'm up against a woman who firmly believes this, the one that brought me to Christ and has taught me, and I mentioned it. Uh-oh. Duck, because here it comes. But, again, does it bother me? No, it's expected. It falls in line with what I told you 2 years ago. And Bob, I think you were there at that Bible study when I mentioned that the ones that were going to be attacking the people that believe are going to be people of their own family. Yes, like it says, father against son, mother against daughter, da-da-da. But it's going to be our own brothers and sisters and relatives within the denominations that we do not align up with their belief. Who else would be out there thinking they're doing God's will by attacking and swearing to God that they're going to be helping us by doing this? The world doesn't care about the Christian church. They don't care if you believe in Jesus. They really don't. Because what they have seen is non-power. Now, how can people who will be drawn to that power be the ones to go after you? It'll be the jealous ones. We've been here before you. What are you talking about? And my favorite line, where's your degree? Where is your degree? And again, I've heard that from within my own family. And my response, I heard it from someone, I don't know who it was. God bless him. I said, thermometer has a lot of degrees, but I don't worship it. I worship the one who wrote this book. Don't let your lack of knowledge, don't let your lack of experience ever stop you from going forward in the Word of God. That one little scripture that I gave you is just a key, but there's so many keys in here. You're going to be the one to open up for this man here. You feel what? You'll say something that'll open the door up for him. They'll set him on fire, or her. Or Brother Bob back there. Judy, you don't know. But I do know this much. If you don't read it, you don't meditate on it, you don't speak it, you will be held accountable for it. Because who are the ones that are going to be the ones that are going to be judged the harshest? Those who know. If he knows that I'm going to do something down a path that is going to be wrong for me and how can it work? He knows that there's a bridge out down this street. I said, I'm going down that street. And I like to drive down there with my lights out on the moonlit nights, a beautiful, peaceful ride. And he knows the bridge is out. And there's no markings. And I drive off that bridge. Whose fault is it? He knew. Did not warn. But of course, he's sitting there, well, you know, there's other people. No, they'll tell him. How many times have we heard that from within our own ranks? I'm not going to go there and tell that person that stuff. That's what the preacher's for. Wrong. Preacher does not. Sheep beget sheep. The shepherd don't make the sheep. Are there any questions? Because quite frankly, that's about all. I've about run out of juice here. Mm-hmm. I think I've done fine, too, because I haven't said one in the whole thing that I know of. Wait a minute. Did you hear any? Every time Bob's not here. He's not going to. I have a lot of fun with Bob. Bob's a good friend of mine. We used to play cribbage a lot. As a matter of fact, that's where he is now, right? He's using my Christian cards. I know he is. I bought him a deck of cards that was Jesus related, so he could play cribbage and still think about Jesus on Tuesday nights. Any additions? Subtractions? Multiplications? You got it. I turn it over to you, Kim.